Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I'm Bob Mendelson, and this is the Bob's Your Uncle podcast. War in the Middle East. Today we begin the first of a five-part series interviewing different guests from Israel, from Lebanon, all about the Israel-Hamas war. What is it about? Stay tuned for episode one. You can now find us and comment to us wherever you get your podcasts. Tell us what matters to you, what triggers your joy, what bothers you in the world. Let us know. We'll see where the Spirit leads us. Wherever you are just now, whether you're out for your evening constitutional, or you're here in Australia, or back in the United States with friends, or all by yourself with your headset on, these episodes are going to last a little bit longer than usual. Stay with us. I think you'll enjoy or be aggravated by each one. Of note, the opinions are strictly my own and those of my guests. This date in history, the 26th of October, some famous battles. In 2005, the Chicago White Sox defeated the Houston Astros to win the team's first World Series title since 1917. In 1881, a feud between the Earp brothers, Wyatt, Virgil, and Morgan, and an outlaw gang led by Ike Clanton escalated into a celebrated gunfight at the OK Corral in Tombstone, Arizona Territory. And on this day in 1979, South Korean President Park Chung-hee was assassinated by his lifelong friend, Kim, head of the Korean Central Intelligence Agency, who was sentenced to death for his actions. And that's the historical marker of the week. Today, I interview Miranda Weiss, originally from the United States near Washington, D.C., now living near Brisbane in Australia with her husband and four children. She became an Israeli citizen and fought in the IDF. She brings us insider information about how Israelis think, especially about war. In 2 days from now, we will hear from Abu Saleh, a Lebanese Muslim Sunni who has very different views, and we'll hear from others in this series to help us come to grips with war, with religion, with the politics, and more. And unlike our usual format, we will not constrain the guests to 11 minutes. On average, their segment is near 20 minutes. And unlike ordinary circumstances, this series will be complete in 1 week rather than 1 month. We pray that the war will be over before the series ends. Please, God. Now, Miranda Weiss. Welcome back to the podcast, Miranda Weiss. The chief rabbi of South Africa said this week, quote, "This war is about who we are and what we stand for. As our enemies seek to destroy Israel and anti-Semitism surges in capitals across the world, this is a call to the Jewish world," end quote. Miranda, you fought in the IDF over a decade ago, and you've lived in Australia off and on since then. Do you think the rabbi's summary is accurate?
I would say so. I think that this is really affecting everyone differently. It's very hard because you feel like yours have only been there once, if at all, and aren't exactly sure what to do here in such a complicated situation. But I think that the Jewish people have been showing who we are in the way that we are mourning what happened. We're mourning what happened for us, and we're mourning the fact that we still have this conflict that doesn't seem like it's solvable or it can be solved anytime soon. And I think that that is so painful for Jews living abroad and also for Israelis. I know that in my time in the army, it was very much that everyone truly believes that they're doing the right thing. So I think the world has a very cynical approach to Israel and Israelis and to Israeli soldiers. And I think a lot of people don't know, they really can't tell what the character is of Israel and of Israeli soldiers. And I mean, you can call me biased. Of course, I'm, you know, Jewish and I'm an Israeli citizen and I served in the army myself, but you don't see hate and you don't see a desire to kill and you don't see a desire to control at all. It's everything that we're doing is really based on security and security for our people and for our nation. And yes, it's a complicated situation, but I just wish that the world would understand that better. And I feel sorry for all of the Jews really in the world, also in Israel, but living abroad, who feel like they don't know this. And so sometimes they hear things about, you know, IDF soldiers or about Israel that they don't know how to respond to it. They don't know if it's true. And so, yeah, I think there's the fact that Jews and Israelis have really come together throughout this. There has been a lot of mourning. There have been a lot of times of everyone getting together, grieving together, singing songs, you know, praying for the hostages to return, baking challot, you know, observing Shabbat since this happened. There are people who are adopting different traditions. So I think that's what Jews are. And I've seen Jews all over the world doing those things. No one is celebrating our revenge that, you know, which I don't think the IDF even sees this so much as revenge, but what we're doing now in response in Gaza, there's no one who's celebrating that. So yeah, I think that there's some truth in what the rabbi said. I think that the face of Jews around the world and of Israel is really that we're trying to unite and we're trying to protect ourselves. And that's just what we do.
We've been watching with heartache the war in the Middle East with various points of stress and distress. Is there a particular news outlet that you favor, that is, one that seems both balanced and one that lets your views seriously be heard?
Unfortunately, Bob, not so much. I've seen, of course, it's impossible to avoid. I try to avoid the news on the TV as much as possible. I see a lot of people weighing in who really have nothing to do with Israel and don't seem to understand the Middle East at all. What I see is mainly on social media, just, you know, everyone's emotional responses to everything. That includes from the Israeli Jewish perspective, and that definitely includes from the pro-Palestinian perspective. And so I can't even offer anything there because I see very little that is really just discussing, you know, the facts on the ground and the history. There was one podcast that I listened to that, if anyone is interested in a way forward and the idea of what a peace deal might look like, not so much with the Palestinians directly, but for Israel going forward with other Arab nations. And just, I felt some hope after I listened to this particular episode. It was with Jared Kushner, of all people, on the Lex Fridman podcast, and it had come out just after this happened. And I had never been a fan of Jared Kushner, given everything with Donald Trump, and that wasn't my politics. However, because he had a lot to do with brokering the peace deals in the Middle East, I thought he would have some perspective about where this is going and not just being stuck in the same cycles. And he did describe a lot of things in that podcast that I hadn't thought about and I hadn't heard. So that's the only thing I could recommend that might give someone hope who's really trying to zoom out and look at what might be possible for the future.
Even as you were surprised at your own hearing of Jared Kushner, Have your own views amended since you were a wee lass in Northern Virginia about the Middle East, about Israel, about those people, anything like that? Have you seen your views change?
Yeah, my views have been all over the place. When I grew up in quite a Zionist household, my parents were always very pro-Israel, and they took us on a trip there when we were young. And I didn't have much of an opinion. I just knew that, you know, Israel was the home of the Jewish people. And then I went to an American university, and anyone who's paying attention knows what the general feeling is on American university campuses. It's generally very pro-Palestinian, and you really hear from that perspective strongly. And there are very strong student groups who are vocal about the Palestinian cause, and they're very, very anti-Israel. And I ended up studying for my first degree Middle Eastern studies, and I was studying Arabic, and I was studying Persian, and I was studying Turkish, and I studied abroad in Morocco for 6 months. And I lived with a Moroccan Muslim family when I was in Morocco, and I spoke to everyone, and I befriended a lot of Muslims and a lot of Arabs and a lot of Turks and a lot of Iranians. And that was kind of how I was in that time, in university time. And I was very sympathetic to the cause, to the Palestinian cause. But throughout all of that, I still saw, because of my Jewish identity, I still saw why Israel was so important. I heard what they were saying. I heard about the grievances. I understand why they were so much upset. However, I felt like a lot of them wouldn't and almost couldn't acknowledge the other perspective, what the Jews have been through, what our tie is to the land, and why things happen the way they happened, and why we just need to both agree that we're both there to stay. That's my personal opinion now. But I have very much gone back and forth in terms of being almost embarrassed about, you know, being so closely tied to Israel, and then feeling, and then, you know, deciding at the end of university to join the IDF, because I saw there were some conflicts at the time in my last year in university, and I saw the way that these people who I was friends with, I was living in the Arabic speaking house because it was other people who were in my degree, and we were friendly always. But as soon as something would break out in Israel, the things that they would say about Israel, but also it would borderline talking about Jews and talking about the Jewish influence and all of that. And I would see them say these things, and I'm just thinking, I'm your Jewish friend. Hi, I'm here. And, you know, do you think this represents me as well? And I just felt like there was just so much anger and violence on that side that I felt like they couldn't understand our side.
Let's say you were called upon by the new president of Gaza, and the president of Gaza, who replaces Hamas, may it be soon, says, Miranda, we need you to help us solve the Israel-Palestinian crisis. What would you suggest?
I was hoping you wouldn't ask me this, Bob, because this is this is a very hard one. I think that to be more realistic, I would say that before we can directly solve the problem or come to an agreement with the Palestinians, I think that Israel needs to continue to become recognized by the rest of the Arab world. So we're starting to have these peace agreements happening. We were on the brink of a peace agreement with Saudi Arabia, who, I don't know if you saw or if others know about this, but there was an interview with one of the royalties of Saudi Arabia about 3 years ago. It was a three-part series. It was on YouTube, hours long, and he was discussing the whole history of Palestine and essentially was discussing all of the grievances that Saudi Arabia had with the Palestinian leadership, how they would never work with them, they would never agree with them. And it was as if he was putting it out there to prepare everyone mentally for the fact that they wanted to sign a peace agreement with Israel, because it's in their benefit as well. That is the positive thing about Israel, is that Israel focuses so much on life and on innovation and on achieving things. And the world is almost forced to have peace with Israel in that way. If they want any piece of that pie, it's a huge economic powerhouse. And so the Middle East wants that peace. And I'm holding on to that just from the facts on the ground, just the fact that Israel is this big, thriving, I mean, it's a small country, but it's because it's such an economic powerhouse, it's thriving. It will be harder and harder to deny that. And then we'll have more peace deals, like with Saudi Arabia. There will be some more travel involved, maybe not to Saudi Arabia, but Israelis are already traveling and vacationing in places like Dubai. These things were seen as impossible just 20 years ago. And now we're on the brink of that. And I really think that that is what we should focus on, is making these, normalizing Israel as much as possible. And then the Palestinians will have to then follow, because there's nowhere else to go, because everyone else wants to move forward. And it should be able to benefit them as well. The problem I see in standing in the way is the terror. So having people who are delighting in the fact that we're slaughtering civilians. And I know that civilians die on the Palestinian side because of Israeli activities, but we are not delighting in that. It is different, and it's terrible, and it should end completely. But the terror and the delighting in the terror is what really needs to end.
But you do have hope.
I have some hope because I think that the terror will take a long time to stop. And I think that there are some very strong emotions about the whole thing. And there will always be people who just say that Israel stole their land and won't get over that. And I understand how hard that must feel. War is never easy, and Israel has been in war since its birth. So I understand that, but I do have hope because Israel is such a strong nation that we're fighting for our survival. And when people are fighting for their survival, they don't just give up.
You are a mother of four, may it be five, may it be more, amazing children. Do you have any worries about the world in which they're growing? That is the world worse today than when you were a kid?
Oh, gosh. I think it might seem worse thanks to social media, but I'm not sure. We've always had such trying times, right? Humans have always kind of been through these huge events and wars and displacements. And I mean, if you just look at, you know, World Wars I and II, I think that eventually people do move on. I know that the Jews are unique, where we do have a unique history, but they do move on. I mean, look at Germany, for instance, started two world wars, and no one has a problem with Germany. You know, Germany is like, it's considered one of the most stable countries on the planet. It's the leader of Europe. It is possible to have a more secure future. So I think it's important, especially for Jewish people, that's my opinion, to bring more people into the world and not fear bringing people into the world. We need more good people raising good people.
Is there anything else about this issue or any issue you want to bring back to the Bob's Your Uncle podcast community worldwide that listens to me?
I just want to encourage, I know that especially people who are pro-Israel right now, it never seems like it's the popular opinion. If you feel inclined to support Israel for whatever reason, maybe that you're Jewish or religious beliefs, or you just feel that's right, just to educate yourself as much as possible. I mean, I have a degree in Middle East studies, and I've been reading up on the history of Israel again and again, just to know facts that happened, because a lot of things are said constantly about, again, the nature of Israel, you know, the history of Israel, where the Jews came from, what makes us, you know, our racial background, if we're apartheid, if we're committing genocide. And they're just very strong words and phrases used, and very seldom can they be backed up with any evidence whatsoever. And I know some people feel out of their depth. And I think that it brings hope when you have information, when you can, when you know what the history is, when you know what Israel is made of, and you know where we come from, and you recognize there are minorities in Israel who love living there and have nothing but good things to say. They serve in the army. I served with many minorities in the army, in my time in the army. It is not just one size fits all. This is not just about the oppressed and the oppressor. It is a very complicated conflict. And not to just get too overwhelmed with that, I would really encourage everyone to just learn as much as you can about the facts and what Israel is, and then you surely will feel better in your defense of Israel, and also in your stance. You know, you should be, you should feel good about what you're supporting, that you're supporting a just cause.
There's got to be more, isn't there? There's got to be reason and sensibility, humanity. But then people say, you know, Israel was bombed. You know, here come these parachuters. Here come these barbarians butchering our people on the 7th of October, kidnapping 200 or so, maybe. Maybe they still have them. Maybe most are dead by now. We don't know as of the recording of this podcast. And to say God wants us to be barbaric shouts against something inside most humans today, that we shouldn't be barbaric. So how do we, okay, history, that's good. How else can we answer the God talk? Or can we? Is there an answer?
I don't know how one could speak on behalf of God. I know that some people will quote scripture. I understand that. But I think that takes a lot to read the scripture and think that you can interpret it to mean exactly what you'd like it to mean, you know, in the year 2023. That's just my personal opinion. I think it's a lot to speak on behalf of God, and I'm not sure. I don't know what the nature of God is, but hopefully it wouldn't be barbarism. There has to be a different way. There has to be a better way.
Thanks, Miranda.
My pleasure. I think if you're bringing love and kindness, then you can be any age.
I'll keep working on it. Hey, all the best to you, to Avi, to all your mishpacha here and near and far. And I'll hope to see you again in whenever God gives us time.
Thanks, Bob. Me too.
All the best.
What do you think about all this? Why don't you write me, bobmendo@aol.com, or comment on an Instagram or TikTok to me? I'd love to know what you're thinking. Every week, we read from a portion of the bestseller, the number one bestseller of all time, the Bible, and today's no different. From the Gospel of John, the words of Yeshua himself. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. In 2 days, come back and listen to the interview with Abu Saleh, a Lebanese Muslim Sunni who lives in Sydney and who has a very different view than you've ever heard about who was responsible for the deaths of those 1,400 Israelis and Jewish people who lived in Israel. He doesn't believe that Hamas was responsible. You can't imagine our surprise when we interviewed him. Come back in 2 days, let's see some more views, and then every couple days until this series is over. Please keep coming back and let's process this together. Until then, I wish you peace in you, in your house, in your family, in your children, in children's children, and all in your neighborhood. May God hear our prayers. Sha'alu shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Until then, when things are bleak or uncertain, look up to God. He's in his heaven. And Bob's your uncle. Shalom.